Father, thank you because you are always there for us. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you for someone's life here today that will experience your help, experience your mercy, experience your grace. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Let not one person live here the same way they have come. Thank you, Master. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. And please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I welcome also our foreign delegates. In case you are here and your country was still not mentioned, let us know. I believe there are more people here who we have not acknowledged. Last year we had 72 nations. I believe that the path, our path is a shining light that shines more and more. So let's know in case you are here and you have not been acknowledged. I want to especially appreciate the presence of our foreign delegates, especially those who are pastors of churches. Because one of the things I know is how difficult it is to get a pastor out of church on Sunday. But there are times when we are out of church on Sunday for a good cause. I've been away from our church on a Sunday in 30 years. Uncountable numbers. I can count it on the finger how many times I left church on a Sunday morning. Three of those times, I was in another church. One when we were almost 20 something years ago, we were trying to see how to step into multiple services. And there was a church running four services. I was there on a Sunday to observe what they did and how the times were divided. And then another one on a Sunday that was a very, very big church. And so there are times when we can be away for a good cause. Observation has a way of enlarging vision and also has a way of bringing impartation. So I believe that we are not going to live here the same way we have come, in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say amen. And all the congregations where you have left, the presence and the power of God shall be there in Jesus' name. This morning, we are meant to be here for thanksgivings and testimonies from the convention. As it is a custom. But the Lord reminded me of something that we had that needed to be handled, which we had not yet. The subject was or is occupied till I come. The way of the eagle. And when we looked at the way of the eagle, we're looking at the functionality of the ego, the operations of the ego. But we had not seen the making of the ego. What made the ego? How did the ego become an ego? What we had done is like studying the operations of a medical doctor. But we needed to know, how did the doctor become a doctor? What was the process that makes a doctor? So this morning we shall be looking at the making of the ego. The making. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 to verse 12. The Bible said, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle teareth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them up, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus. So our objective this morning, again, is understanding the process of the making of the ego. Like I said, we study the ego, we study the functionality of the ego, the operations of the ego, but what we want to know is how the eagle became an eagle, how an eaglet becomes an eagle. Like I said, it was like knowing how the doctor operates versus now trying to know how the doctor became a doctor. It's like the medical student that becomes a doctor. Now, the important thing is that eagles are both born and made. They are born as eaglets, but they must be made into eagles. The eaglet does not become an eagle automatically. There's a process that turns the eaglet into the eagle. The scripture likens God the Father to the eagle. He said, as the eagle steereth up her nest. And he likens the children of God, the covenant people of God, he likens them to the eaglet, the young of the eagle. In the process of studying these, there are a few things that the scripture makes clear regarding God's people. Who are these spiritual eaglets, spiritual eagles? Number one, it says the Lord's portion is his people. God's inheritance is his people. That is, one, God's people are God's own asset. They are God's own property. They are his wealth. The way human beings will brag on what they have. I have a house. I have a car. I have money in my account. I am rich. I am wealthy. I have so and so properties everywhere. The scripture says that yourself and myself is the wealth that God has. Is the portion of God. The property of God. The possession of God. If there is anything other people want to boast about, it is you and me that God wants to boast about. We are his portion. We are his inheritance. We are his wealth. Don't ever let any devil tell you that you are worth nothing. Don't ever let any devil convince you that you amount to nothing. Don't ever let any devil, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter the life you have lived before. The Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's wealth is his people. The Lord's resources is his people. What you want to trust God for is to ensure that truly you are a wealth, a treasure, a resources that God can boast about. Am I communicating at all? You are such a valuable resources, a valuable treasure, a valuable possession that God can brag about. Brag to the devil. Brag to the world. He said to Satan, "Have you beheld my servant Job?" He was bragging on Job. Job is my treasure. Job is my valuable. Job is my asset. God is saying, everyone that becomes an eagle later will be an eaglet that is a valuable, a treasurable, someone that God can boast and brag about, and let the devil know. He said in the book of Malachi chapter 3, if you start from verse 15 and then verse 16, 17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." God said, you are designed to be his jewel. His precious metal, his precious material, his treasure. "In the day when I make up my jewel, the Lord's portion is his people." He values you and value me more than money. He values you and values me more than any asset on the earth. The Lord's portion is his people. Beloved, God is calling upon you and me to justify his position regarding us, that we are assets of God, treasures of God, wealth belonging to God in our generation. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. So it must both be a mentality and a reality. Mentality where you say, no, I am not trash. I am not crap. I am not a useless entity. I'm not a non-entity. Then in your reality, God can truly look at you as an asset. Look at you as a treasure. Look at you as a valuable possession in your generation. Look at you literally like someone he can't do without. That's the first thing we know. Second, the Bible said, Jacob or Israel is the lot of his inheritance. The meaning of that is, what is the meaning of what is lot? Lot casting is a selection process that arrives at an objective. Let us cast lot. That is, you are here today because the lot of God caught you. Simple. Number two, you are the product of a selection process. We, children of God, covenant people, we are the product of a selection process. A process of selection is the reason why you are in the faith today. In the New Testament, it is called the mystery of election. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why? For reasons best known to me, among which is the fact that Esau is going to be a very, very useless person in his character. I foresaw their future. And I realized that Jacob will value spiritual things more than Esau. And I chose Jacob. God, you are the product of a selection process. Has it not surprised you why there are friends you grew up with that are still so rebellious to God till today? They hate church. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to go close near church. But you are one that God's process landed on. And it became easy for you to believe. It became easy for you to run with God. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? Look at your neighbor and say, God chose you. God selected you. You are not here by accident. You are not in God by accident. You are not in church by accident. Is God speaking to somebody here? Shout the Lord and say, amen. Hey! If that excites you, stand on your feet and give him a shout of victory. Look at somebody and say, I am not here by accident. I am not in God by accident. I am not in church by accident. I have been selected and chosen by God to serve him, to live for him, and the devil can do nothing about it. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat and listen to this. The good thing about it is, that's why there are so many of us. The devil is angry. Agents of darkness are angry. Why should it be him? Why should it be him? Why should he have so much favor? Why should he have so much access? Why should he have so much grace and so much gifting? Answer is simple. It is not my fault. I did not choose myself. I did not select myself. A heaven selection process selected me. Hey! Hey! I did not select myself. I did not choose myself. I did not appoint myself. I did not bring myself to where I am today. It's not my doing. A selection process of heaven. A selection process of heaven selected me because he said, it is not of him that willeth or runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. The meaning of this is, you have been qualified by God. No human disqualification matters anymore. Qualified by God. Qualified by God. Qualified by God. And let me announce to you today, in case there is someone here who is afraid of fulfilling destiny, the grace that selected you, the grace that chose you, that grace is sufficient to take you to destiny. That grace is sufficient to take you to destiny. That grace is sufficient to take you to destiny. God will not waste his choice if he will not end you where he wants you to end. He will not waste his time selecting you. He will not waste his time choosing you. If he knew the devil would be strong enough to stop you from reaching where he chose you to go. But I am here to announce to somebody, the grace that selected you, the grace that chose you, is taking you to your destination. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Take your seat. Hallelujah. There are times when people get angry with you. He's too gifted. He's too engraced. He's too favored. Everything is looking so. Just face your front. You didn't choose yourself. Let the one who selected you reply them. There are many people who have wished that they are doing what we are doing. Where we are now, why should he be him? Unknown to them. We didn't desire it. We didn't struggle for it. We didn't work for it. We didn't plan for it. We didn't orchestrate for it. But God said, this is where I want you to be. This is what I want you to be doing with your life. Then we said, yes, sir. And then things are going the way he wants it to go. And some people are saying, who does he think is? Where is he going? Who? What is he doing that we are not doing? No, sir. It's not of him that will let or run it. It's of God that showeth mercy. It's not, the battle is not to the strong, the race is not to the swift, but time and chance happened to all. Hey! 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 Look at your neighbor, say, he chose me. I didn't choose myself. Look at your neighbor, say, he qualified me. I didn't qualify myself. So you are going to say to somebody, I am too qualified by God to be disqualified by man. Say it again. Let us say, I am too qualified by God to be disqualified by man. Take your seat. The third thing that we saw there, he said, he found him. He found him. He found him. He found him. The third thing is, God embarked upon his search. To find his people. He found him. The meaning of that is, apart from his finding, you would be miserably lost. Apart from him finding you, you won't be here now. He found him. Many people say, I found Jesus. No, Jesus was not missing. I found Jesus. In 1979, I found Jesus. In 1985, I found Jesus. You didn't find him. He was never missing. He was never lost. He found you. He found me. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Some of us would have been dead drunkards today. Some of us would have been terrible witch doctors today. Some of us would have been prostitutes today. Some of us would have been drug addicts today. In fact, some of us would have been dead and in hell now. Dead and in hell if he did not find us. Brother Joe testified the other day with whom we were attending the same Christian Fellowship Center in Otoko in 1979. Brother Joe testified. A girl invited him to go to church for a program. He thought it was a party. So he followed the girl to church. Unknown to him, it was church he was going. But in his mind, he felt that if he followed the girl, he would chase the girl later. He came to church and gave his life to Christ. There were three friends. Him and two friends tied together. Two of them are dead. One died of HIV. The other died of on drugs. He said, today he's a pastor, a minister of the gospel. And he said, if God did not find me that day, I would have either died like my other friend of HIV, or died like the other one on drugs, or both. What will we do without God? He found me. He found you. You are not lost because you are found. Would you lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you for searching for me, for looking for me, and finding me. I am grateful because you found me. I am grateful because you found me. I am grateful. I am appreciative because you found me. Thank you for finding me. It is too late to be lost now. Is God speaking to anybody here today? Lift your voice and say, it is too late to be lost now. I can't be lost now. It's too late to be lost now. When I could have been lost, it's long past. Where you were straying away, where you were from one beer parlor to another, from one nightclub to another, patronizing one witch doctor to the other, when you were just straying and strolling and moving up and down, remember? When you were up and down, that was when the devil could have caught you, killed you, sent you to hell straight. But it is too late now. That is if you cooperate with God. If you cooperate with him, he found you. And if you go back home today and somebody asked you, what did you hear from church? Tell him, he found me. I heard many things, but he found me. He searched for me and found me. And that is why I'm here. That is why I'm in church service this Sunday morning. Because he found me. I am that eaglet that was found. I am that person that would have been lost that was found. I'm that person that would have been forgotten since, but I have been found. Somebody say a loud amen. Take your seat. The fourth thing is, he rescued us, his people, from disaster and danger. He found us, but from where? In a desert, from a desert land. Desert land is barren land. Desert land is unproductive land. Desert land is fruitless land. God has rescued us from barrenness, fruitlessness, unproductivity, then wasteland is a rescue from the life of waste, from waste and loss, waste and loss. Then it's a howling wilderness. I began to find out what the howling wilderness is all about. And I realized howling is the sound of dangerous beasts, the sounds of tigers and lions, wild animals. He pulled us from the midst of barrenness, from the midst of fruitlessness, from the midst of unproductivity, from the midst of losses, from the midst of wastage, and from the congregation of dangerous beasts. What does that mean to you? It means that you are forbidden
existence in barrenness. You are forbidding existence in empty-handedness. You are forbidding existence in unproductivity. Is God speaking to somebody here? You are not permitted as a pastor, a minister of the gospel. Barrenness, fruitlessness in ministry is not your portion. Empty-handedness is not your portion. Unproductivity is not your portion. As a child of God, in the place where you work, in your office, emptiness, unproductivity, barrenness is not your portion. You cannot claim that He selected you. He chose you and He found you and then left you in a barren land. I don't know what this means to someone here this morning, but I need your faith to be stirred, and I need you to be angry against every life of unproductivity, every life of emptiness, every life of barrenness, every life of losses, every life of wastage. I'd like you to reject and react against it. And then, He did not select you and choose you to leave you to be devoured by wild animals, to leave you in the midst of beasts of danger. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It is too late for the enemy and his forces of destruction to destroy your life, to destroy your ministry, to destroy your life, to destroy your assignment. It is too late for the devil. Somebody say, too late! Shout it loudest, too late for the devil! He chose me. He found me. And He rescued me. Say, He chose me. He found me. And He rescued me. One more time. He chose me. He found me. And He rescued me. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? If He found you, if He chose you and found you and rescued you, you can't be a reproach to His name. You can't be a shame to His name. You cannot be a victim of the forces of empty-handedness, the forces of unproductivity, the forces of fruitlessness. You can't be a victim of the forces of wastage and emptiness, the forces of losses, the forces of disaster and danger. This is where we are. But from here, we are going to follow His process that is going to make all of these things to be realized. We're going to follow His process. And this is where it becomes a bit difficult. But we'll look at it. If all of the above must be true, what must I subscribe to? Number one. The Bible said, He led him about in the... He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. That now, He led him about. First, or fifth, if possible, you must agree to be led. And not just led, but led about. If you are an eaglet of God that must become an eagle, reach your destiny, you must agree to be led,
not just led, but led about. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we must be led. There is no destination without direction. It is not possible to arrive at any God-ordained destination without God-guided direction. We must be led. But the challenge is that most times God is not leading you straight. For example, He wanted to take you to that place where the microphones are. And from here to that place is a straight line. If I go like this, it is straight. But at times, it takes me from here. It's taking me there, but it took me here. And I arrive here. The thing is that we will arrive there, but it may not follow the process we expect. And at times it may not follow the time that we expect. He led him about. He gave Joseph the vision of becoming a prime minister in Egypt, of his mother and father and brethren bowing to him. Joseph expected that from his father's house, maybe someone will look for him. Maybe there was an election. Maybe there was something that will make him that prime minister and that leader on the spot. But no, he led him about. From Egypt, from the land of his fathers, he was sold unto Ishmaelites, who sold him to Potiphar. From Potiphar's house to the prison. For the prison, it took 13 solid years. When he saw the vision, it appeared like it will happen tomorrow. Our major challenge is that the process of God is too long for us. And at times, the time of God appears too long for us. That is what has turned many people into false prophets and false all manner of things, looking for alternatives to how to do it for God. He led him about. Is God speaking to someone here? I believe there is somebody seated here this morning that God appears to be leading you about. Lord, why is the vision not coming to pass? I saw it clearly. Why is the prophecy not coming to pass? The things you put in my heart, why are they not coming to pass? He is saying, allow me to lead you about. He said he led him about. And now if you look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 to verse 18, you will see something there. He said, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way. Are you people hearing something? God did not lead them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that way was shorter.
He brought them from the land of Egypt. He's taking them to the land of Canaan. He could have passed them straight through the land of the Philistines, because that was the near road. But he didn't lead them that way. For God said, lest peradventure the people change their mind when they see war. Why did you remove it from the screen? I'm not true. When they see war and return to Egypt. Verse 18. So God led them about. Are you seeing the same word now? So he led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. We'll look at that another day. So he led them about. Some of us, we are trying to rush into war. And God is saying, I want to pass you through another road. He said, the road you are struggling to follow, there is fight in front. There is battle in front of you. There is war along that road. There are some things I don't want you to see. So you don't change your mind and go to Egypt. There is a promotion you are looking for. God says, not for you yet. Or not for you here. There is a vision you are struggling, and God says, no, you are trying to follow the short way. That way appears short, but it will cut your destiny short. There are many shortcuts that have cut people's destinies short. There are sisters who got tired of waiting for God and got a shortcut marriage that cut their destiny short. There are people who are tired of waiting for the process and decided to go abroad, go to America, go to UK through a shortcut, arranged marriage or something, and it cut their destiny short. Is God speaking to somebody here? Lift up your right and say, Father, I am ready to be led. And if you decide, I am ready to be led about. All I need is to follow you. Say it. All I need is to be sure you are in front of me. I am ready to follow you. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. I speak into somebody's life and destiny. Every spirit of impatience, every hastiness of spirit that is trying to make you miss God, I curse that spirit right now. I command it to leave you right now. In the name of Jesus, receive the help of God. Receive the leading of God. Receive the direction of God. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and say, Father, I am ready to be led. And if you want, I am ready to be led about. All I want is to be sure that you are leading me. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord the praise. Thank you. Hallelujah. You want to be an eagle from an eaglet. Allow God to be allow. You must agree to be led and be led about. Number six, you must agree to be instructed. He instructed him. Leading is the way to go. Instruction is the thing to do. You must agree to be instructed. He instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. When Saul of Tarsus gave his life to Christ, the first question is, Lord, what will you have me do? The doings of God are preceded by the sayings of God. If God is going to do something in your life, he will say something to you. They are preceded. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Fill the water pots with water. And the water pots were filled with water and there was wine. Launch your net into the deep for a drought. And the nets were launched into the deep for a drought and there was a catch of fishes. Divine manifestation anchors on divine instruction. Divine manifestations anchors on divine instruction. There are steps you must take. If there are things you must see. At various times in my life and ministry, I have seen instructions. Do this and do that. When the aircraft going to London many years ago, when in the middle of the air, he said, when you return back home, commence five services. Five services. We were in three services at that time. Three. First service was filled to under the gallery. Second service filled up and down. Third service was halfway. And those were the kind of three services he was asking me to commence five services. Gave 2 weeks notice and started five services from three unfilled services. Those five services, the Sunday that he started, all overwhelmed. 10,000 people was the count on top of the previous Sunday. That Sunday, it didn't reduce from there. Divine instruction. This is the step to take. This is what to do. Before this, we came to this land. We're almost going somewhere else for the base and the headquarters of this church. And then he said, remember what I showed you in the night. The place I showed you in the night, and in the vision of the night, revelation of the night, he has shown me where we are now. But in the physical, it appeared like we couldn't find it. And I called someone in our midst, anointed him, and I said, go on your way to the airport, look right at so and so place. You will find the place. And he went. He came back within a week. I anointed him. It's your job to find the place. Go find it. And he came. He said, I have found the place. Long story made short, we came here together, looked at the place, and here we are. Divine instruction. Divine instruction. Divine instruction. You must agree. Many of us are too. We are. Assumption is the mother of frustration. We assume too much. We assume too much. We assume too much. We assume too much. We just rely on chance. And nothing profitable can happen by chance. Allow God to instruct you. Allow God to instruct you. Somebody say a loud amen. I speak today in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the resurrected Lord. In the name that is above every name, may your ears be open to hear God, your eyes be open to see, your understanding be quickened to know what God wants you to do per time. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say a loud amen. Take your seat. Is anybody receiving something today? Are you receiving something today? Look at your neighbor and say, don't be in a hurry to take the steps. Allow him to lead you, even if he has to lead you about. Allow him to instruct you. Hallelujah. And what is the next, number 7? He said, as an eagle, steereth up her nest. Steereth up. Number 7, allow God to steer your nest when necessary. Allow God to steer your nest where necessary.
when necessary. Most times, it is very, very challenging, uncomfortable when the nest is to be stirred. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is one of the most difficult things in the making of an eagle. The eagle's nest is up about 10,000 feet above sea level, on top of the rock. Very, very big. They say the nest of an eagle at times can be big enough for a human being to enter inside. The baby eagle opens its mouth almost permanently. And the mother eagle brings food every day and puts it in the mouth of the baby eagle. And the baby eagle begins to grow and begins to grow. Every day the mother eagle comes. It comes lovingly. Comes pleasantly. Putting the food in the mouth of the baby. Call it spoon feeding. Then all of a sudden, one day, the mother eagle arrives with red eyes. It's not looking friendly. It's looking more like an enemy. And then it begins to tear the nest. It's tearing the nest. It scatters the nest. Baby eagle is wondering what is really going on. Has mother run mad? What's happening? It stares the nest. Stares the nest. Scatters the nest. Then the baby eagle falls out of the nest and begins to dive down. Like it is going to hit the rock and die. The mother flutters around it and picks it up all the way to 10,000 feet above sea level, and then shifts again, and the baby eagle is flying down, diving down, diving down. Mother peaks, flutters and picks it up. Then finally, when the baby eagle was flying down at one of those points, mistakenly or incidentally, it stretches her wings out and realizes that it's stable. Wow. So I have this thing that mother used to fly with. So I don't need to crash and die. That was when she realized all the while that the mother was trying to show her something, was trying to release her potential. Hey! Was trying to release her possibility, release her opportunities, and show her what she has that she was not aware of. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Look at your neighbor and say, allow God to stir your nest. Allow God to stir your nest. Because in the stirring of your nest is the release of your possibilities. Take your seat. What is the practical meaning of this to you? Many of us are addicted to the nest. So we forfeit our possibilities in God. We forfeit our potentials in God. We forfeit destiny in God. What does that mean to you? Steering the nest is the disturbance of your comfort and convenience. Steering the nest is the scattering of the status quo. Steering the nest is the sudden, uncomfortable, inconveniencing change of things. For example, you thought that man was your friend.
everything was going very good with you and him. All of a sudden, he says, I don't need you anymore. Just face your life, and I face my life. Maybe you are in a business partnership and relationship. And the financial partner that is more like your benefactor suddenly pulls back and pulls out at a very critical stage. And everything was looking good and nice and money was flowing. All of a sudden, he's backing off, he's pulling out. And I said, you see, most times, not every problem requires the binding of a devil. Say, Lord, I bind this devil that is making this my business partner to move away. Whatever is bringing is a division between us, I bind it. God, say, you can't bind me. You can't bind me. This is not devil, this is me. For as long as that man is in your life, you will not see the possibilities I have wired in you. You will not see the potentials I have put in you. You will not see the grace that you can. As long as that man is in your life, I want to divide you asunder, so that you come to square zero and start from that square zero and realize that there is nothing that that business partner have that you cannot have. Many of us, there is a tearing of the nest and we are sad. What we should be thanking God for, we are sad about. Some of us are angry with God for things that we should be appreciating God. Why did God take that man away from me? We were so compatible. We're going to get married. He loved me, I loved him. God said, no, he doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. That is fake love. That is plastic love. That is movie love. It's not genuine, authentic love. That is a man who will kill you only 2 years after your marriage. And I am trying to save your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You've been doing very well in your place of work. And this is not a wrong prophecy. Alright, and I'm not advocating for the devil to have license to do what he wants. But you have been meeting your targets and everything. All of a sudden they say, can you resign? Or they give you a sack later. You look around your life. You have done nothing wrong. Your relationship with God is intact. Everything is okay as far as you are concerned. It's alright, no problem. I receive what you call a sack, whatever later you call it. My destiny is not in the hands of this organization. It's in the hands of God. The nest is teared. And you step out. And you began to move forward. And all of a sudden, God decides to help you to establish an organization bigger than where they released you from. Or he said, because I have something bigger for you, because this thing is blocking your sight, you don't think that there is anything better than where you are, but I spared the nest so you can reach your destiny, so you can fulfill purpose, so you can become who I want you to be. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. Somebody says, spare it, Lord. Spare the nest, Lord. A pastor told me how a major person in their church is more like a sponsor. And that's the challenge with ministries that depend on people as sponsors. So one day the man told him, the kind of message you are preaching, I don't understand it. He mentioned it once or twice. That he should stop preaching like that. And he's a major giver in the church. The kind of person say, want to do this kind of preaching, say, don't worry, I will handle it. So after the man spoke like that a few minutes, and the pastor realized that he needs to preach what God asked him to preach, the man decided to leave the church and left with as many as possible. elders, deacons, those kind of people. He left with them en masse. And this pastor appeared stranded. Then he was forced to look up to God. I will look up to the hills from whence comes my help. My help coming from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer your feet to be moved. Hey! He will not, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout a believer, say amen. Somebody shout a louder believer, say amen. Say after me, say, oh Lord, I am ready for you to stir the nest where necessary so I can experience the fullness of possibility, the fullness of potentials, the fullness of my destiny. Stir it, Lord. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Most times it's not palatable. Most times people will think you did something wrong. That is why things fell apart. Most times even yourself will accuse yourself. What have I done wrong? But God said, I am tearing the nest, tearing certain things apart, disturbing your comfort zone, scattering convenience. I want to force you to look up to me. I want your potentials to come out. I want your purpose to be fulfilled. I want your destiny to be realized. I want your possibilities to see the light of day. Someone say amen. I was in 200 level in the university when there was a tearing of some nest that made me to just go face university and rely entirely on supernatural supply. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth year. I returned back home only about four or five years of continuous university education. At that moment, I realized that my eyes will look up to heaven. The kind of supply I saw in that season was heavier than any regular source of supply I would have seen. Is God speaking to anybody here? On my way out of the A-levels, I finished A-levels. It was time to go to the university. I had enough points to give me admission straight into the university by direct entry to study medicine and surgery. But for reasons that I now understand better, there was a tearing. Somebody I loved so much at that time died. It was so painful. It was almost moving me back from God. The person was interested so much in my life and education and everything. Secondly, the university I chose in those days was outside our own catchment area, what they call catchment area. For one reason or the other, with enough points to step into study medicine, they didn't admit me. Those who have lower points got admission. They didn't admit me. So I was forced to stay at home for that year. I felt terrible. Why is my journey of life arrested? My life was fast so far on a fast lane, and here I was arrested. I never knew it was the tearing of a nest for a big purpose. That 1 year at home, that was my Bible school. That was 7 hours of prayer nonstop. That was hours of study of the word. That was 7 days of fasting on water. And then praying endlessly. By the time I was through with that 1 year, God was pleased. And the devil must have regretted if he thought he had a hand in delaying me. There was no Bible school I could have gone that could have produced that kind of result. It was me and God. The secret place of the Most High. Then, the year that came, I stepped into the university. Another university. Where I met my wife. And married my wife. Right? That is important to me. Because in the other place I would have gone, there may be no chances for us to have met. Or chances for us to have married. And if I had married another person, and I'm running around the world like this, maybe at a point she will say, you are on your own. I married doctor, not pastor. I married doctor, not pastor. I married medical doctor, not pastor, not evangelist. I'm a doctor myself. My father is a professor of medicine. You are on your own. Maybe if I had married another person. But God knew that the way I wanted to go was good for me. Like we said earlier on, it was a short way. But he led me about. Led me about. And then steered the nest. And then the steering of the nest has brought me to where we are and brought us to where we are. Hey! 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 Lift your voice and say, Father, steer the nest, Lord. Steer the nest, Lord. Steer the nest, Lord. Where necessary. And take me, Lord, to where you need me to go. In the name of Jesus. Is God speaking to anybody at all? So whenever you see certain things that appear shaking of the ground, something is shaking. Something is looking somehow. You ask the Lord, what's going on, Lord? And he might tell you, I'm staring the nest. It is not everybody who leaves you that you must force to come back. Upper left, let her go. Root will remain, let her remain. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Don't force anything to happen. Saul said, I forced myself and offered sacrifice when Samuel had not come. Anything you force yourself to do, you are likely to regret. Almost for life. Saul forced himself and offered the offering that he was not meant to offer. And he was rejected. Don't force it. Just allow God. If you want to stay at the nest, here am I. I know you are not planning to kill me. I know you are planning to reveal the potential, the possibilities in you. You are planning to show me, to step me to another level. A higher face, a higher dimension. Somebody say a loud amen. Take your seat. I heard the story of a man, a pilot, flying in an airline organization. Great, good pilot. All of a sudden, he was given a sack letter, a captain, that they don't need him there anymore. He received it honorably, and he sat down, and he thought. And all of a sudden, he realized in himself, you too can have an airline company. So really? So he got together with two other friends, airline pilots. Whatever happened, they started an airline company and had a fleet of planes. So one day, he was in an occasion. And the person who sacked him as managing director of the other airline company was also in that occasion. He looked at the man instead of anger, instead of frowning. He went to him and shook his hands. He said, good afternoon, sir. I just wanted to thank you for that sack letter. I wanted to appreciate you for that sack letter. That sack later brought out my potential. I never knew that we could also own an airline company. We have our airline company now, and you are the one, you contributed to it. Sacking me made it possible. The time will come when some of us might look for the devil to thank him. Hey! Ay, 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 ay. Say, devil, I appreciate you. Say, why are you appreciating me? You say, because you push me into prayer and fasting. You push me into study of the word. You push me into study of the Bible. You push me into spiritual exercises. I was too lukewarm until you came against me. I was too at ease until you came against me. Now I am more prayerful. Now I am very fastful. Now I am very praiseful. Now I am fulfilling destiny. Thank you, devil. See, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We might as well have thanked the devil for crucifying Jesus. Otherwise, we will not be saved. Otherwise, hey! If you love God, if you are called according to his purpose, what you thought was working against you is actually working together for your good. Why? All things work together for the good of them that love him, and them that are called according to his purpose. Even what the devil originally meant for evil, Joseph told his brethren, as for you, you planned evil, you meant evil, you wanted me to die, but see how God turned it around. See how God turned it around. See how God turned it around. I am here to announce to somebody, get ready for a turnaround of situation, a turnaround in your ministry, a turnaround in your life's assignment. You believe it, say the Lord and say amen. I can see everything turning around. Everything turning around. Everything turning around. I can see everything turning around. Everything turning around. Everything turning around. I can see everything turning around. Everything turning around. Everything turning around. Two more times. I can see everything turning around. Everything turning around. Everything turning around. One more. I can see everything turning around. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I think it was good we did not forget this aspect. That making of the ego. Allow him to steer your nest. Number 8. Allow him to flutter over you. The Bible said, he fluttered over her young. Allow him to flutter over you. One thing we must understand is that during the season of the steering, God is nearby. He doesn't steer the nest and fly away. The aim is not to kill the eaglet. The aim is to open up the eaglet to possibilities, potentiality, abilities unknown. Allow him to flutter over you. Maintain his presence. A major challenge of many of us
is when we experience little stirrings. We run away from church. We run away from God. Prayer life disappears. Study of the word disappears. Service to God disappears. Soul winning disappears. Where was God watching before they gave me a sack letter? Where was God watching? How will I face people? 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 I already told everybody we are getting married. And this man suddenly changes his mind. No. Push to God. Where was God watching? This business was at finishing stage. Finishing stage. No. Before me and my wife got married, in those days in Nigeria, when government used to change very quick, easily, one military or one war, whatever comes, my wife was the personal doctor of a first lady of a state. She was a personal doctor of a first lady of a state. The wife and the husband had our invitation letter for the wedding. In our mind, we have already calculated. How the big men will arrive, the kind of entourage and cast they will come in, and the possibility of what kind of gift may come, and so on. Was it 2 weeks? A week or 2 weeks to the wedding. Power change. Ele. At that season, many things changed. Many things changed. A man has promised that he would undertake the wedding reception. He's going to foot the bill. He's going to do this and that. He was expecting money to come from a contract he had done. The money came after the wedding. Which means he was not able to do what he wanted. The venue where we are going to use for the wedding, overnight, they changed that the venue could not be used. So we had to use a church location. When all this happened, I was wondering what is going on. Then I realized, I am teaching you to ruggedly trust me for everything. Man, you see, man can change. Man can fail. Unfortunately, man can also die. But God cannot fail. God cannot change. God cannot die. That is why he is the most reliable person. Reliable person to depend on. I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. In the case of that man, he didn't die. He didn't fail. He didn't change. But the system changed. He could have done what he wanted to do if the things remained the same. It was the stirring of the nest. But the good thing was that the presence of God was heavy. And the Lord showed me, it is what your life represents together to your generation that the enemy was trying to see if he can resist. But also I was in the system trying to ensure that you look absolutely to me, not to a man. And that is why our ministry today, we do not consider individuals as sponsors. We don't have recognizable sponsors. From all over the world, God does his work. He does his work. And the work is running at the speed of God. The way we are doing things, the way God is at work in this place. If we are to look up to one man, that man would have run down since. You just run person down for nothing. You would have run. Which one will he face? crusade, church planting, welfare, road construction, bridge construction. Which one will he face? Hallelujah.
Allow God to flutter.
Anything that drives you to God has driven you to good.
Take your seat.
Let the stirrings drive you into prayer. Let it drive you into fasting. Let it drive you into worship. Let it drive you into service. They gave you a sack later. Expectations were not met. Things are not happening the way you expected. Let it drive you into restless fasting, restless prayers, restless intimacy with God. And you will be shocked. One day, I told our church members, I said, if you are jobless, hit the road running on evangelism. Pray very well. Hit the road running. Everywhere you see people pass them tracks, preach the gospel. Tell God, I surrender myself to your employment. Did you not say in Luke chapter 10? He appointed them 70 also. It's an appointment. So working for God is an appointment. Going for souls is an appointment. I said, let God appoint you and go on that assignment. Many people got cars, got houses. Somebody met his wife in the field. God began to remember people. But you know what? Remember what I said to them. I say, when you disturb the devil so much with evangelism, he is the one that will find you a job. Devil will find you a job. You stand in the bus. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you about Jesus Christ, about the love of God. You stand there in front of the market with your megaphone. Praise the Lord. I am here to tell you about Jesus. You hit the road morning, cry in the morning. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus, what do you know? And you are preaching, and the devil say, let's find this boy a job. Oil company job that will occupy him from morning till night. Let us find this boy a government job. It's the devil himself that will look for job for you in the attempt to distract you because you are disturbing him. And then at the end of the day, you will realize that he has given you a job, but your evangelism continues. Continues in the workplace. Continues in the marketplace. Hey! Hey! Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Shout the loudest. Amen! Take your seat. Don't let the staring drive you away from God. Allow God to flutter over you. Let the presence of God be more intense. In prayer, in worship, in fasting. And then you will find the purpose of this theory inside his presence. Because it is as the mother eagle flies over that eaglet, picks it up, lifts it, flies across it again, that suddenly the baby eagle stretched out his wings. And realize, oh, I have it. I have the wing. I have it. I have the wing. It is in donating yourself and allowing yourself to be in that presence that you find the purpose of this tearing. The reason why the job was lost. The reason why the relationship did not work. The reason why this or that happened. It is in hanging around God. Remaining with him. Deepening yourself in his presence. That you find the purpose. Why the things that happened, happen. Number 9. Allow God to carry you. He fluttered over the young. Spreadeth her wings and taketh them, bear them on the wings. Allow God to carry you. That is not the time to allow your wisdom to carry you. When the nest is teared, allow God to carry you. Carry me, Lord.
Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Oh, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Oh, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Everybody sing. Carry me, Lord. I'm available for you, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, carry me. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord. I'm available. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Lord.
God to carry you. Don't look onto your wisdom, onto your strength, onto your abilities. Don't even look up to a man. Let God carry you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hand over your burden. Hand over your concerns. Let him carry you. Lord, I know you have enough weight to carry me. To carry me and carry all my concerns. You have enough strength to carry me. You have enough ability to carry me. I know if you carry me, you won't drop me. Human beings carry you, they drop you. The time comes when they say your load is too much. Your problem is too much. Your challenge is too much. They drop you. I've seen men abandon their wives because of challenge. Woman said, two children, sick class, husband left them. This and that challenge, husband disappeared. I've seen people abandon family members. Family say, oh no, you're reproached with this family. We don't have anything to do with you. Your problem is too much. But there is a God who will carry you under all conditions. He will carry you. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your hope is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the way you feel. He can help and he can save. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain,
help him.
And your hope is almost sinking in this man, Jesus knows the way you feel. He can help and he can save. Take your body to the Lord and leave.
and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out.
Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there.
If you trust and never, never doubt, He will surely bring you out.
Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. How do you know that God is carrying you? How do you know that you have handed over your burdens and your troubles to Him? Easiest way to know that you no longer feel the weight of any burden. You no longer feel the concern. You are not, there's no hypertension anymore. No sleepless night. Because if your burden, your concern, your load is with you, you feel the weight of them. You feel the concern of them. If it is with Him, it ceases to exist as a concern. Let Him carry you. Carry you through ministry. Carry you through school. Carry you through life's journey. Carry you through your marriage. Let Him carry you. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly. Jesus, no, not one. No, Jesus knows. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day. Till the day is gone. There's not a friend like the lonely. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No one else to heal.
No one else to heal. All our souls, Jesus.
No, not one.
No, not one.
He's so high and holy.
No, not one.
No, no, not one.
No, not one.
No, no, not one.
And yet,
and yet, no friend. He's so high and holy.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No, not one.
Not one.
No, not one.
No, not one.
No.